Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
So if you got a copy of God's Word with you, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. That's going to be our main text today for part 2. And here in just a moment, I'm going to start in verse 4 and then read all the way through verse 8. And maybe while you're turning there, while you're at it, why not grab something to take notes with? We handed these out a while back, if you're here, these heaven full, hell empty notebooks. You got one of those with still some pages left, grab that. Or if you want to follow along digitally, we've got digital notes on the YouVersion Bible app. But either way, grab something to take notes as well. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. And as many are turning there, just to give you a little bit of quick context with kind of what we're parachuting into, what's the context of the passage, Jesus has just died on the cross. He has just rose from the dead, and he's now spending 40 days with his boys, his disciples. And in particular, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we see that Jesus and his disciples, they're having a conversation around a good meal. Now, how many of y'all know, and you give me an amen with this if you agree with me, but how many of you know every single conversation is better with food involved? Okay, there we go. We're tracking together, right? And so Acts chapter 1, verse 4 is where we're going to jump in, and I'm reading out the NIV. And here's what it says. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Notice it's a gift. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. I've talked about this before. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now hit pause for a second, okay? I'll keep reading in just a moment. That word baptize in the Greek, the original language here, is the Greek word baptizo, which literally means this, immersion, to be overwhelmed. And so when Jesus, by the way, when he was water baptized by John, he was immersed, like he wasn't sprinkled. And we know that that's the case, and here's how. Because the Bible says that Jesus came up out of the water. How many of y'all know you can't come up out of a sprinkle, all right? And so, excuse me. So Jesus was immersed. And so here at Christ Covenant, we dunk you when you get water baptized, all right? We call it the slam dunk of Christianity, okay? And for some of you, we dunk you and we hold you under just a little bit longer just to make sure, all right? And so we believe in immersion. And so Jesus says, you were immersed in water. I was immersed in water. But in a few days, you're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Saturated, completely covered, overwhelmed. All right, let's keep reading verse 6. Then they gathered around him, the disciples, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates. They were asking the wrong questions, okay? Not for you to know the times or the dates. The Father is set by his own authority. Verse 8 is our main verse today, and here's what it says. But you will receive power. The Greek word there is dunamis, which is the word dynamite. And by the way, that's where we get our English word for dynamite. So dynamite power, Jesus says. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much, and what a great day it's been so far. Think about what you did in first service here in the room and also online. It's just incredible what you're doing in our midst. We know this, God, this is your church. It's not my church. It's not anyone. It's your church, Lord. And we're so grateful for how you're growing us. And God, we're so grateful for the reach that you're giving us and how you're moving in our midst. And we pray again today in this service, the 11 a.m. thunder, God, that you would move powerfully, move because of me and in spite of me. God, we pray that you would move in such a powerful way that we're all changed because of you and who you are. And God, we know this, that as we look to the text and as we look at the person of the Holy Spirit, God, if we'll give you a blank page, you'll write upon the page of our hearts and you'll speak to us so clearly, so profoundly. You'll help us as you want to help us, as any good father wants to help his kids. You want to help us. So I pray today that we would lean in. I pray even now, God, you'd help us to eliminate all distractions and help us to focus in on what you have to say. And And Lord, I pray that as we do that again, we would all leave after this message saying, wow, I met with God, I encountered God, and I'm changed because of it. Lord, we love you so much. And it's in faith that we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to start with a question kind of to get us jump-started. I do this pretty often, and normally I ask you to respond. But you don't have to respond to this one, but just think with me, okay? So this will get us jump-started. But would any of you say that you've got somebody in your life, I don't know who it is. It could be a brother, a sister, a best friend, your spouse. It could be your grandmother, like kind of growing up. But would anybody say, like, hey, you got somebody in your life that they just seem to have more Holy Spirit power than other people? Like they're the kind of person that when they pray, heaven invades earth. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you were God, you're like, man, I would answer that prayer. Like, that is so good. You know somebody like that, right? You're like, somebody write that down. What they're praying is so good. Here we are, like, stumbling, repeating the same thing over and over again, right? But that person, man, they know how to pray. And when something messes up in your life, who do you go to? That person, right? Because when they pray, something happens. And not only that, but that person, again, think about them in your mind if you got that person in your life. But when they go through, like, stuff, like when things fall apart, they never fall apart, do they? Like, they are unshaken. Like, if we went through what they went through, man, we'd be falling apart. But they are unshaken. They are strong. They are steadfast. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens to them. There's just this undeniability. They just believe that Jesus is going to work it all out. And you see their life, and you're like, man, they've got that strength and that power. And if you got that person in your mind, I want to answer kind of the question that probably you've asked yourself before. Why do they seem to have that power and that strength, and I don't? Why do they seem to be unshaken, and here I am going through what I'm going through, and I'm shaken? Why do they seem to have it all together even when life falls apart, but yet here I am, and I don't even know what's to come. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. Like, why do they have something that I don't have? And I want to answer that question you maybe been asking yourself for a while now. I'm going to answer it right here and now. The reason why they're not shaken, the reason why they seem to have this power that others don't have is because maybe they do. Maybe, just maybe, they're more surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit than most people. And I'll prove it to you, a supernatural explanation. I'm going to use a natural explanation for it. So here's what I mean. I remember years ago, I'm not from Houston. Many of you know that. Came from Dallas, my family and I, 3 years ago. And just like we're a church revitalization, that was a church revitalization in Dallas. And oftentimes in a church revitalization, the building is dilapidated, it's falling apart. And that was the case there in Dallas. I wasn't the senior pastor, I was a pastor on staff, but there we were in a building that was falling apart. It was decades and decades old, and it just wasn't good. I'll never forget, most winters there in Dallas, overnight we would have the pipes above the ceilings, we would have them freeze, and we would wrap them in copper and everything like that, but they would still freeze, and we would come in the next morning at that church building, and offices and kids' classrooms would be underwater. So instead of calling up somebody to help fix it, how many of y'all know, if you're a church revitalization, God's doing a fresh work, you don't have any money, right? So we couldn't call anybody else. Guess who got to work? Us staff and volunteers, right? Cleaning that up. That happened almost every single winter. This one's really gross, but it's 100% true. I'll never forget that in one of our preschool classrooms, this is crazy, but we had literally sewage coming up from the ground into that classroom. Constantly. That was the kind of stuff that was happening at the church. And again, we were the ones that had to try to figure it out. And if you know me, I can barely hang a picture on, like, the wall, okay? But here I am, this guy tried to figure this out. Well, our parking lot there at the campus, the old campus, they've got a new one now. They're even expanding it as we speak. But at the old church building in the parking lot, it was not up to code. And what I mean by that is, in Dallas, your parking lot's supposed to be entirely concrete. Well, half of our concrete there was not concrete, it was gravel, okay? And we had 30 old telephone poles, kind of get that image in your mind, all across that side of the gravel parking lot. And they were scattered everywhere. And you may not know this about those old telephone poles, but they're like 1,000 pounds each. And so what we had to do getting up to code and making sure everything looked nicer is we had to move all those things. But again, we didn't have any money. So guess who got volunteered for that job? Me, myself, and I, and several volunteers and pastors from the church. So we get the staff out there, and we get a whole bunch of guys out there, and we're ready to conquer this mountain. You know, guys, you know how we are, right? Like, just we suck it up. We're like, we're going to do this thing, man. Come on. You know, that kind of deal. We're grunting, and we're excited. We're going to do this thing. So we get out there. I think it was one Saturday, and we grab one of those telephone poles. Remember, 30 of them. And all of us guys, we worked for an hour on that telephone pole, and we barely moved it at all. Like, barely at all. So we're frustrated. How many of y'all know, like, I get frustrated real easy. That's a lot of my stories that I tell, right? And I was frustrated. We were tired. We were weak. We had so much faith going into it, but we couldn't even move one. And then all of a sudden, we had a God moment. The senior pastor, Pastor Chris, he gets a call from one of the other guys in the church who was not there. And Pastor Chris told that guy what we were doing and how it wasn't working, and we were all ready to give up. And that guy says, Pastor, you forgot that I have an F-250 and some chains. Pastor, you forgot I'm built for tough and I could show up and help y'all out. And Pastor's like, please, yes, sir, come on out. So this guy brings this F-250. 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, he shows up. He's got those big chains, and he would wrap them around those telephone poles and drag them off. And I got to tell y'all, Christ's Covenant, it was beautiful. It was glorious. I mean, we had church up in that parking lot, like a staff of the volunteers. It was incredible. We worked for 1 hour, and we couldn't move one. In less than an hour, this guy moved all 30 poles. It's incredible. Amazing. And I got to tell you, if that guy didn't show up, we would still be moving those poles today. Either that or more than likely we would have given up, right? And they'd still be there. But he came on out and he helped us. You see, we didn't have the power on our own. We didn't have the strength on our own. And we were frustrated. We were tired. We were upset. We felt weak. And the truth is, we were too weak for the job at hand. And the reason why I tell that story in the natural is because for some of us, that's happening in the supernatural. We're trying to live our Christian lives on our own strength, our own power, and we're frustrated. We're tired, and we blame all these exterior things, but really, really, maybe, just maybe, it's because we haven't fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us do what we need to do. And so what I told you in the series, what I told you last week at Mother's Day is, hey, give me a blank page. Give me a blank page. I know we come from different backgrounds and maybe no church background at all. And so when we hear the Holy Spirit, it makes some of us nervous and we start looking for the exits, right? But I ask, give me a blank page. Give God a blank page that he could speak to you what he wants to speak to you, to show you that the power of the Holy Spirit's not weird. It's actually necessary. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through your life. And so what I want to do, similar to last week, is I want to take us on a journey. Like, we'll get back to Acts chapter 1, our main text at the end. But I want to take us on a quick journey, really looking at the entire canon of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, to see the Holy Spirit's power at work in men and women's lives. And so I want to start with the Old Testament. And that may shock you, because maybe you think and you're just like, no, the Holy Spirit's just moving in New Testament. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit was active, friend, in the Old Testament. So again, if you got something to take notes, get ready to jot some downs with me. It's going to be a 30,000-foot view of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. But you see, at the beginning of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, if you're taking notes, jot this down, would descend upon people for a reason or a season, and then he would depart. I want to say that again, because I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. Not a slide for this. But in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you examples in a moment. The Holy Spirit would descend upon, come upon, immerse, overwhelm a person for a reason or a season, and then he would depart. It happened for judges in the Old Testament. It happened for warriors. It happened for prophets. Think about Joshua. Did you know, and if you've read your Bible, you know, that the Holy Spirit's power came upon Joshua. He was the next man up after Moses. That's some big sandals to step into, y'all, like for real. That's some big, big shoes to fill. And he had the Holy Spirit's power come upon him to help lead the people of God. It happened in Gideon's life. Gideon, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him for a reason and a season, and he was able to help God's people who were outnumbered 400-1 to still win the battle. Literally, he took 300 men with no weapons. Read the story if you don't know it. With no weapons to take on and defeat 120,000 of the enemy. That's some really bad odds, isn't it? But the powerful work of the Holy Spirit overcame him. It was like the movie 300, but in real life, okay? That's what happened with Gideon, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to give you two more examples, and these I've got direct verses for, so I want you to jot these down. The first is this, Old Testament examples. We see this in Samson's life. Now, if you remember hearing about him, if you grew up in church, one of the strongest men to ever live. In Samson, we find out in Judges, we see how he got his strength. Like, it wasn't because he worked out more than everybody else. Wasn't because he was taking steroids before everybody else, right? Wasn't because he had the best trainers or the best coaches or, man, just his genetics were incredible. No, no, no. We find out it was actually the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that gave him his strength, okay? Here's what it says in Judges chapter 14, verse 6, NIV still. The Spirit of the Lord came, there's that word, powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. That's strength, isn't it? That's some serious strength. Samson's like, do you lift, bro? Because, man, I got some strength. I got some power. Can I give you another one? Here's the second one. Write this down if you're taking notes. We see this in King Saul's life in the Old Testament. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that he had a pretty bad ending, King Saul, as he came against David. Jealousy, a lot of bad stuff. But he had a pretty good start, and we see God actually worked in him and through him. So we see this in King Saul's life. Here's the scripture reference. It's 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. Speaking of King Saul, here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you'll be changed into a different person. Can I tell you something you may not know already? That when you encounter the Holy Spirit, you will be changed. Come on, can I get a better amen than that in God's house? I'm not talking about a pastor. I love that ministry. I'm not talking about a church building or what program. I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. When you encounter God, he doesn't change, you change every single time. And it's been happening for a long time, and we just read about it in 1 Samuel. When you encounter God Almighty, you can't help but be changed. It's going to happen. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would descend upon people for a reason or a season, but then he would depart. Well, how many of y'all know we're not in the Old Testament anymore? We're a part of the New Testament that's continuing on, New Testament believers. So here's what you need to know about us today and also those in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon every single man and woman and remain. Are y'all with me today? I thought I would have got an amen there. The Holy Spirit, this is great news, incredible news, not select few, not for a certain season or a reason, in every single person's life. I'm looking at you. Look at me in the eyes for a moment. I'm seeing you here. Those online, I can't see you, but I'll pretend that I could see you, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you in power and remain, never leave, to give you the strength that you need, the power, the dynamite, dunamis power to live out the life you were destined to live and to never go, to remain upon your life. I want to give you some examples of this. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, first example in the New Testament, we see again 30,000 foot view. Remember, looking at all of the canon of scripture before we get back to our main verses. Number one, we see this in Mary's life. This is going to shock some of you. Like, you didn't know what I'm about to say. Like, this is going to shock you. Did you know the Holy Spirit's power was active in Mary's life? And that's how she was able to conceive Jesus, the Savior of the world. It's incredible. She was a young teenager. Female, of course, which was something back then that women and children, they were belittled in that culture, but not by God. But not by God. And so we see with Mary that an angel comes to her, and that's a weird statement right there, right? Like an angel comes to her and has a conversation. An angel lets her know, like, hey, you're going to conceive and you're going to have a son. And by the way, he's going to be the savior of the world. Again, young teenager, can you imagine? Like, that's an epic moment. And so in Luke chapter 1, we see Mary's response. Starting in verse 34, here's what she says to the angel. Like, how's this going to happen? How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Holy Spirit's power was active in Mary's life. Here's the second example. We'll spend a little bit of time on this one. The second example, and his life is worth studying, by the way, but it's the Apostle Paul. We see time and time again, church, like hear me loud and clear, that the Holy Spirit came upon Paul and remained on Paul and worked in him and through him in powerful, incredible ways. But here was the problem in the natural. You see, the Apostle Paul, you may not know this, he was a gifted writer, wrote a lot of the New Testament, but he was not a gifted orator. He was not a good preacher from the natural sense. Like he had haters. And how many of y'all know, haters, they love to point out your weaknesses, and that's what they did with Paul all the time. It's all throughout your Bible. Different churches and churches that he planted, and people in the church, they would make fun of him, and they would belittle him, and, oh, Paul, you're always messing up when you try to preach, and it's not very impressive when you shared that message last Sunday. Can't you do better than that, Paul? They would say things like this, man, your letters, they're filled with power. They're filled with strength, but you're away when you write those letters. When you're here in person, ain't nothing special. That's the kind of stuff they were saying to Paul. And here's Paul's response. Man, I love it. And as a pastor, as a preacher, man, I can relate to it. Paul says, I'll give you his words in a moment. Let me paraphrase. Paul says this, you know what? You're right. I am not a great communicator, orator, like preacher, speaker. I'm not. But guess what? God still works through me. Man, I mess up. I told y'all, pastors, we have foot and mouth disease, okay? This happens all the time when you speak for a living. Paul's like, I know that I missed it. I know it doesn't seem impressive, but it's really not about my words. It's about the Holy Spirit's power working in and through my words. Well, that's the paraphrase. Here's his own words. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, still NIV. Here's what Paul says. My message in my preaching, we're not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. It wasn't about using like 5+ syllables when I talk. It was having moments where the Holy Spirit would demonstrate his power when I spoke. So that, here's the reason, your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Like, do you realize the significance of what he's saying? He's saying it's actually a good thing that I'm not a good orator, because if I was a good orator, you would be tempted to follow me instead of following Jesus. And that's a problem in America, isn't it? People selling out for a pastor or a ministry and not Jesus. That whenever the man of God or the woman of God falls, we all make mistakes, and especially if it's public and they have a big following, then they think their faith is no faith anymore. And the reason why is because their faith was tied around a man or a woman or a ministry instead of Jesus. Y'all know I'm preaching a lot better than you responding today. You help a brother out, okay? I'm preaching the truth. And so Paul says, you know what? I can screw up when I speak. Not on purpose, of course. Not because I'm not ready for it, but because I'm flawed. And I can make mistakes, but still the Holy Spirit will work in me and through me. We got a lot of good orators in 2021, but I wonder, are we taking moments in messages for a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power? That's what changes us, right? Not an experience with a good preacher from a natural sense, but an experience with God. That's what we need. That's what you need, and that's what you want. I know you want that. So Paul says, you point it out as a weakness, but I actually think God uses my insecurities, my failings to get his message across even better. And that doesn't make sense, does it? Like, you would think you got to say it perfect and do it perfect for God to use it. And God's like, no. I love using screw-ups like you, Paul. I know he loves using screw-ups like me. And so, again, I can relate to what Paul's saying here. If you're brand new, you don't know this, but if you've been around for a little bit, I talk about this often because I think it's important. But you may not believe it if you're here for the first time. But as for me, again, I'm a preacher, what God's called me to do. From the natural standpoint, I don't enjoy standing on a platform and speaking to you. I know you're like, I don't know. You're up there doing it. If you know me, you know that's the case. I would much rather be in one of your seats, probably towards the back. Not hating on my back, folks. Like, I'm with you, okay? But I'd probably be on the back. I'd be serving somewhere that's not seeing. Like, that's just what I'd be doing in the natural. I'll prove it to you if you don't believe me. I've shared this before, but when I was in middle school, I had a presentation. And I was normally an A student all the way up through my undergrad work, okay? That was normally the case in honors classes. But in middle school, I had a class where I had to give a presentation. And I was so fearful, I was so scared to talk to way less people than what's in this room, I mean, a small group of people. I was so afraid of it that I literally took a zero on that project. And even though I mostly made A's, this bumped me down a whole letter grade at the end of the year. But I didn't care. Why? Because I didn't want to do what I'm doing right now. Not just that. In middle school or high school, anytime I had a presentation, I would pretend to be sick and go to the nurse. Just so happened, it was always on those days, right, when I had to give a presentation. And I realized pretty quick that I couldn't say I had a fever or upset stomach or these things like that, because they can kind of prove whether you do or not. Of course, with a fever, they can check your temperature and send you back. And so I don't know how I came up with this, but God's honest truth, multiple times throughout middle school and high school, I would go to the nurse. What I came up with was hot flashes, which is really bizarre, right? I think I was the only teenage boy in the history of the world that struggled with hot flashes, okay? Like, y'all know it's normally a different demographic. That's all I'm going to say there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just not a normal thing, but they couldn't prove it, right? I mean, how do you say, they don't know. So I had multiple hot flashes. Then all of a sudden when that class would end, that period would end, then I'd be better. You know, just a miracle what God did, and I'd go back to class. And the reason why I say all that is, again, I can relate to what Paul is saying. That, you know what, it's not about my gift or lack thereof. It's about a demonstration of God's power when I speak. And when it comes to your life, because you may not be a preacher, it's not about how skilled you are or how talented you are or how much you go to church. All that stuff's important, but it's not most important. All you need to do is surrender to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, and He'll speak because of you or sometimes even in spite of you. Again, you may not stand on a platform like this, but when you share your faith with a friend, a family member, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, your classmates, it's not about saying everything right. It's not about having a closet with no skeletons. We've all made mistakes, especially in our past. It's about being real. It's about being available, saying, Holy Spirit, in the same way you work through men and women in the Old Testament and men and women in the New Testament, I want you to work in and through me to change the world. And if you're available and you ask and you surrender, He'll fill you up and you'll receive the power that God wants to give you. Now, I want to stick on Paul for a second. Stick with him. Because in Paul's life, we see, again, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit just moving all the time when he preaches, and but even in other areas of his life. And I want to set it up before I read to you 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12. But before I read that, I want to set it up. So Paul, and again, I can relate to him, man. Paul, he had some struggles in his life. You ever struggled before? Like yesterday, right? I think, I know I had some struggles. Maybe you had some, maybe this morning. If you got young kids like us, you definitely had some struggles this morning, okay? It's like, I get it. But like, Paul struggled. And the Bible tells us, not the exact place that I'm reading a little bit before, but Paul tells us, the Word of God tells us about Paul, that he had a thorn in his flesh. And there's a lot of theories to what that was. Like, some people think it was an eye problem. Some people think it was some kind of other physical difficulty. Some people think it was actually a speech impediment, which would kind of make sense, right? Because again, he wasn't a good orator. Other people think it was a struggle, like a sin struggle. Others think that it was maybe just an insecurity. And others even think, there's a big theory that it was like the enemy coming at him, like oppression, like the enemy attacking his life. And honestly, we don't. No, but here's what Paul did, and I do this all the time, and if you were honest, I think maybe you'd say this has happened to you. But Paul's got this struggle. He prays and prays and prays for it to go away, and it doesn't. And so what's he do? He complains to God. Can we be honest in God's house? And my hand's going to be up. But how many would say, you know what, I've complained to God before? Can you raise your hand? Oh, okay, God. Man, honest people in the church. All right, you put it down. First service was honest too. Like that's what we do, right? Like, God, I'm working for you. I'm doing this. I've gone to church like one time the last month. That's really good, God. You know, like, come on. Like, help me out with this. God, I tithed 2 years ago. Come on, help me out, man. You know, like, we complain to God. All this kind of stuff. Like, God, I did this, so you should do this. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what I'm about to read to you, we see God's answer to Paul. Okay, so he's been complaining. He's been frustrated. Here's what God says. It's verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And if you were Paul, wouldn't you be like, God, I didn't hear that. Let me clean out my ears. You know, come again. What did you say? God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For there's that word, power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. This sentence doesn't make sense, does it, in the natural? Who gets excited about their weaknesses? I delight in my weakness. I delight in my insults. I delight in hardships and persecutions. He's like, cancel culture, bring it all, man. I get excited about that. I'm excited in difficulties. Why? For when I'm weak, I am strong. This is going to help somebody. Did you know that the Holy Spirit's power will help you where you're weak? Talk about practical, right? Again, maybe you wouldn't call yourself a preacher, but we all have weaknesses, don't we? And if you don't have weaknesses, or you pretend you don't have weaknesses, that's your weakness right there, okay? You're a liar, because we all got issues. I say it all the time. Some of y'all's issues are so bad, your issues have issues, okay? Like we are all imperfect, broken people in need of a good Savior. Can I get an amen in God's house? Like we got issues. We got problems. But Paul says the Holy Spirit's power, hear me loud and clear, friend, will help you in the areas where you are weak. So make it practical. Make it personal. I wrote down a few examples because I think the Holy Spirit's going to target some people. Like maybe for you, your weakness is you struggle with commitment. Somebody's like, whoa, how did he know? Has he been reading my text messages? Nope. But the Holy Spirit knows. Here's how you define it. For somebody, you're an incredible starter, but you're a horrible finisher. Well, like you can start stuff, man, like really good. Like you're real good at getting like one third up that mountain you're climbing, right? By the time you get up a little bit and it gets a little bit harder, you know, it's like you start getting distracted. You're like, well, I like that mountain over there better, right? And then you can come down and go start climbing up that mountain. Like you're a great starter, but you're not so great of a finisher. And you can relate this to your spiritual life. Like maybe you hop around different churches. I'll start this church. Oh, this is my church. Oh, I love my church. Oh, my church. Oh, my goodness, my church. Well, I didn't like that. I'm going to go to another church. Great starter, but not a great finisher. Maybe this happens in your life in relationships. I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but maybe you're on your third or fourth marriage, or maybe you jump from, maybe you don't even want to take that step in marriage because you know that it's just a matter of time before you move on. And you blame the other person, but the common denominator is us, right? When we have relationship issue after relationship issue. You're a great starter, but not a great finisher. If that's you, can I give you some encouragement? The Holy Spirit's power will help you where you are weak. You can actually turn your weakness into a strength as you surrender to Him. You talk to the parents for a second. You may not have three young kids like my wife and I. Maybe your kids are older, and maybe they're teenagers. Maybe they're young adults now. Maybe you're a grandparent now. Can I tell you? The Holy Spirit's power, practical, this is for you, will help you in your weakness if you feel like parenting is one of those. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Man, they used to be so cute, but now I feel like they're from the devil in these teenage years. Man, what's going on? Maybe some of you are like, you got the young kids, and you're like, we need to cast that demon out of our baby. I don't know. But you know, parenting's hard. And if you feel like that's a weakness and you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit's power wants to come upon your life and remain. Remain. Not just for a reason or season, forever. Remain. Maybe this one will hit you hard. Maybe you feel like in every promotion, every raise opportunity at your place of employment, maybe you feel like, hey, I am overqualified, but I get passed over every single time. You're like, if we could sit down and have coffee together, you're like, Pastor, man, I'm overqualified. This is what I have, and I've got more experience, but I'm a horrible interviewer. Maybe that's you. And you're like, I can relate to putting your foot in your mouth. I know the right answer, but I can't get it out. I get nervous, and I talk too much, or I don't talk enough, and for whatever reason, I get passed over. If you feel like that's a weakness, I'm telling you, practically, the Holy Spirit's power wants to come upon you to help you where you are weak. It happened in Paul's life. It's happened in my life, and God wants to help you. What did Jesus say? It's a gift. It's a gift. Gifts are good things. They're not weird things. Let God tear down those walls that maybe you put up to help you where you're weak. Let's get back to Acts chapter 1. We'll finish here. Remember, Jesus, he's with his boys, his disciples. I mean, he's got their attention. If you knew anybody that died, like you saw it, and they raised from the dead, like they'd have your attention too, right? There he is, and they're having a good meal together. Jesus tells them, don't you do anything. Don't you go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem, the city, like you stay here. Don't start that ministry just yet. Don't plant that church just yet. I know you're excited because I was dead and now I'm alive. I get that. But you can't go out yet. You've got to wait for the gift. And when the gift comes, you'll know it, because John the Baptist, he baptized you in water. But you're about to be baptized, immersed, overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. And what does verse 8 say? But you will receive power. Dunamis, dynamite power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what's the reason? So that you will be my witnesses. I feel the Holy Spirit working right now. You'll be my witnesses, he says. And it's going to start in Jerusalem. And then it's going to go on out to Judea and Samaria. And then it's going to go even farther to the ends of the earth. He's saying it's going to start close at home with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your classmates, at your apartment complex or your assisted living complex. It's going to happen close, and then it's going to move out, and it's going to expand, not because you have the power, but because he's got the power, and he's going to come upon you. I'm going to give you my sermon in a sentence. Would you write this down? We're almost done. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us accomplish the mission of God. It gives you boldness to share your faith. Well, I'm an introvert pastor. I can relate to you. I don't want to ever be on a microphone. Like, just keep that thing away from me. It's not about being an introvert or an extrovert. Every single one of you, the Holy Spirit wants to give you power to accomplish the mission of God. What's the mission of God? Expanding God's family. I've been talking about that a lot, especially in the last series that we had. It's growth. It's discipling. It's bringing more people into the family of God. There's a purpose behind the power. Not, hear me, not that you would be better than someone else, because it does not make you better than someone else. I've received the power of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Here's what I mean by that. That it helps me step in to the calling of God upon my life. I would not be doing this on my own strength. I've already explained that to you. I could not do this on my own strength. But again, maybe you're not called to be a preacher. I get that. Not all of you are. Whatever area God has called you to, we all share a common mission, don't we? The mission of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you the power that you need to accomplish His mission. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you're moving so powerfully, so mightily, so grateful. Thank you for this great revelation from your holy word in Acts chapter 1. And even as we took a 30,000 foot view of the Old Testament and the New Testament, God, we're so grateful that we live in the New Testament, and so grateful that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come upon us for a reason or a season and then depart. We're so grateful, the Holy Spirit, you want to come upon us in power and remain. That you want to help us when we're weak. You want to give us boldness to share our faith with our family and our friends. I feel this in my heart for you, church. There's some people listening in the room online that you feel so weak, you feel so tired, you feel anemic in your faith. And the Holy Spirit's revealing to you right now that it's because you've been trying to live your Christian life with your own strength, your own power. Even the strongest one of us, we are not strong enough. We need the Lord's power at work in us and through us. Maybe for others, you feel weak in a certain area. And just like the Apostle Paul, you can relate to what he was going through, that you've asked for it to go away or not be an issue any longer, but it's kind of remained. It's still been a struggle. And God's revealing to you right now that his grace is sufficient for you. That his power is actually made perfect in your weakness and your struggle. Not to approve, of course, any wrongdoing. That's not what we're talking about. Whatever the struggle is, the obstacle, maybe it's a faith issue, maybe it's a commitment issue. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you right now. And he will help you. He will help you where you struggle. He will help you in your weakness. It's all for a purpose, friend. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon us and remain, give us power to share our faith, to be a witness, to be bold for Jesus Christ. It's available to every single one of us, not just the special few. No, it's available to every woman, every man, every child, every adult, young and old. It's available to all of us. All you have to do is believe, receive, ask, and surrender. He'll fill you up, friend. He'll immerse you. He'll pour out his power. He wants to. It's for you. It's for you. Come on, keep those heads bowed, those eyes closed. God, I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you. I don't know what got them here this morning, but I'm so glad they came. I don't know what caused them to log on. Maybe someone shared it with them. Maybe it seemed like it was even just an accident. God, it wasn't. They're far from you, and they can't fix themselves. They need your help. God, you want to rescue them. If you're far from God, friend, there's good news for you. The good news is this: Jesus came to earth. He lived a life without sin. He died on the cross in our place. He rose from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he did it all so you and I could be forgiven of our sin, could be washed clean, could be made new, made whole. And here in this moment, you've got an opportunity to pass from death to life, to put your hope and your trust in Jesus, the one true God, to make him your personal Lord and Savior. That as Romans chapter 10, verse 9, another place in the Bible as it puts it, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you'll confess and if you'll believe, the Bible promises you will be saved. It's not about your works or how good you are, not about what you've accomplished in the past or in the present. It's not about even what you hope to do in the future. It's about you coming to Jesus, friend, just as you are, sin and all, mess and all, and saying, Jesus, I believe you're God, and I ask you to clean me up. And if you'll ask him today, he is faithful to answer that prayer and say yes. In fact, you didn't even know this, but during the whole service, the Holy Spirit was convicting you, drawing you unto himself, pulling you close, whispering to your heart and your mind. It's up to you to surrender. And so if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but right where you are, I want to help you. I want to give you some words to say. But it's not about saying the exact right thing. It's about meaning it with all your heart. So right now, wherever you are, in the room, online, maybe you're listening to this on the treadmill, maybe you're on a road trip, you're on an early vacation with your family and you got it on in the car, whatever. Right where you are, you can talk to God. You can whisper to the Lord. Tell him this, Lord, I believe you are God. You're the one true God. Jesus, I believe not only are you God, but I believe that you died on the cross. You rose from the dead. And so I ask you, would you forgive me of my sins? It's so important that you ask him that, friend. Our sin separates us from God. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you make me new? Would you write your name upon my heart? I make you my personal Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, help me to live my life boldly. Live my life for you. To run after you. And every time I fall down, to get back up with your strength and with your help. I thank you for decisions that are being made right now. Thank you for people that are going from death to life because of you, Jesus, and what you've done. You're so good. You're so awesome. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you've done in this service today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.